Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat. Welcome to this gathering of Crossroads Church of Dubai. Sa mga hindi ko nakakilala sa akin, ako po si Alvin Liton when I serve as the pastor of Crossroads Church. It's good to see everyone, and I know you feel the same. We are continuing our sermon series on the Gospel according to Mark. And itong hapon na ito, we will take after po ng sermon na ito, we will take a break for next month or for this coming weeks para to pave way sa mga members natin who will be preaching and guest preachers who we have invited. And these men are gifted preachers, so we will be feasting on God's word as we listen to them. Jesus continued to show messianic qualities, miraculous healing, exorcism, nature obeys him, the feeding of the 5,000 men, lahat ng may karamdaman supernaturally na pagaling at ang patay ay muling nabuhay. His fame continued to spread across the land and it's attracting people from all walks of life, including yung mga religious leaders. People responding differently kay Jesus. Some of them have embraced and believed in the kingdom of God. Some of them embraced the king. Bagamat ang iba naman sa kanila, hindi ho naniwala sa kanya. In fact, some of them rejected him. At yun po yung mga Pharisees. Jesus, after talking about what true uncleanliness is, sa ating napag-aralan ng mga couple of weeks ago, he defined kung ano yung uncleanliness sa harapan ng Diyos and what is clean. This passage now, sa papasukin po natin, we'll see na si Jesus, after explaining what is unclean, goes to what the Pharisees considered unclean land or unclean people group. At yun po yung mga lugar ng mga Gentiles. As Jesus goes to the Gentile nation, this passage foreshadows Jesus' gospel ministry sa mga Gentiles, to the foreigners and to the outcasts, which now makikita natin sa ating point ngayong gabi na ito. Jesus grants forgiveness and freedom to all outcasts who would humbly believe in Him. Jesus grants forgiveness and freedom to all outcasts who humbly believe in Him. Tingnan po niyo yung verse 24. Now, verse 24, when Jesus departed from Galilee, a Jewish nation, ngayon po siya papunta sa isang Gentile nation na ang tawag po ay Tyre. The city of Tyre ay yung tinatawag po na modern city ng Lebanon. Now, hindi natin alam kung bakit doon pumunta si Jesus from Galilee tapos pumunta sa Gentile nation. Maaring siguro dahil sa mga opposition ng mga Pharisees at mga religious elite. Kung maalala po ninyo, in a couple of weeks ago, he rebuked yung mga legalism at saka hypocrisy ng mga Pharisees. Because these are the people who would rather follow man-made laws or traditions rather than obeying the Word of God. Prior to that, nagkaroon na rin sila ng mga inkwentro ng mga religious leaders. Ito, kung naalala nyo sa Mark chapter 3, si Jesus Christ ay nagkaroon ng debate with these religious leaders at yung mga Pharisees at saka Herodians plan to destroy him. Sabi naman ng ibang mga commentators, maaari din dahil kay King Herod Antipas. Sa paniniwala na si Jesus ay yung muling nabuhay na John the Baptist who is out to get him. So naparanoid si John the si King Herod and is out to nadakipin siya. So in secret, pumunta si Jesus at kanyang mga disciples sa city of Tyre, a Gentile region na walang Jew na gustong pumunta. So that's why siguro dun siya dumiretso. Now, probably ang reason kung bakit pumunta siya doon is to seek refuge, protection, solitude, and much-needed rest. Ito na rin ang magandang pagkakataon para sa mga turuan po niya ang kanyang mga disciples. Ngunit itong retreat po na ito ay short-lived dahil sa kasikatan ni Jesus. Even in a Gentile nation, ang buong taong bayan ng Tyre ay natuklasan na nandoon pala si Jesus sa kanilang bayan. And agad-agad silang pumunta kay Jesus. Listen, desperate people gravitate towards Jesus because Jesus provided hope and healing. And so in verse 25, we see a desperate woman. A desperate woman who boldly came to Jesus and begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Sabi sa verse 27, mapapansin natin na hindi kaagad tumugon si Jesus sa request ng babaeng ito. In fact, the tone of his reply appears to be negative. Pa nga, Medyo offensive pa nga yung pagkakasabi if we're going to read as is yung passage ito without looking yung background. Na parang wala siyang balak na paunlakan ang kanyang kahilingan. Jesus answered her parabolically, o yung tinatawag na he used a figurative language. Makikita niyo sa verse 27. Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Ang word na children po rito represents God's chosen people, which is si Israel, the covenant people of God. Samantalang ang children's bread represents the blessing of Jesus' gospel ministry. Now, ano naman yung sa dogs? Okay? Ang term na dog o aso refer to Gentiles, mga hintil. Dahil hindi sila lahi ni Abraham, sila ay mga outsiders, so tinatawag na mga foreigners to the promise and the covenant of God. Makikita po niya sa Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, ang paggamit ng mga Israelita or mga Israelites ng term ng dog, strangely, is always in the negative. Laging negative. It is a picture of uncleanliness. Since karamihan ng mga aso noon ay scavengers, kumakain ng basura, kumakain ng dumi, kumakain ng mga patay na katawan ng tao o hayop. Now, I know what you cat lovers are thinking right now. Go for it! Preach it! Jesus doesn't say anything negative about cats! Well, Jesus doesn't say anything about cats, okay? So, hindi. Ngunit ang paggamit ni Mark ng term na dog dito is in the diminutive na tinatawag form na ang ibig sabihin ay little dog or a domesticated house pet o alagang aso na bahagi ng pamilya. So, yun yung term na ginamit ni Jesus sa babaeng ito. So, Jesus was not using yung term na dog in a derogative way. Okay? Ang sinasabi ni Jesus dito in a parabolic way ay ang kanyang first priority is to preach the gospel of salvation sa mga Jews. Yun ang word na, pansinin niyo yung word na first, yun ang ginamit ng term. First, ibig sabihin, this implied na darating ang time na ang mga Gentiles also would receive yung blessing ng gospel message. Naunawa na kaya ng babae ito? I think so, naunawa ng babae ito. Tingnan niyo sa verse 28. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Hindi po nagdi-disagree yung babae na to kay Jesus. Ang babae sa statement na sinabi ni Jesus. And even maintain yung distinction between children at saka dogs. Ngunit meron po siyang binago na word sa kanyang sinabi. Ito yung word na children, which is very interesting. Binago niya yung word na children. Ang term na children sa pagkakagamit ni Jesus dito refer to Israel, meaning biological children, which means children lahi ni Abraham. Subalit, yung term na children naman, ang pagkakagamit ng babae dito is to imply hindi lang biological children, kung hindi servants in the household ng pamilya na yon. So both, mas inclusive. Naunawaan ng babae ang parable ni Jesus. And what's interesting is, yung mga disciples, hindi nila naunawaan. Samantalang first time ng babae tumakita si Jesus, disciples hindi. She understood that God's mercy extends beyond ethnic Israel. Now, kung meron mang tao na walang karapatan na lumapit sa isang Jewish rabbi na pareho ni Jesus Christ, eto na tong babae na to. First of all, she's a woman. So, the time na yun, ang mga babae ay may less opportunities and less rights. She's probably a widow. At kapag widow ka, nobody's there to care for you. And she's a Greek Gentile. Ang mga Gentiles, ang tingin ng mga Jews doon ay mga unclean. She's from Phoenicia. Part po siya ng province ng Syria. A place na kung saan napakapega, na kung saan sumasamba sa mga Diyos-Diyosan. Talamak po yun, yung practice na yun sa lugar na to. And an ancient enemy of the Jews, or Israel. Tapos ito pa, her daughter is being tormented by an unclean spirit. Kung meron man mga rabbi na nandoon sa presence na hindi lalapitan itong babae or hindi siya lalapit knowing na kung saan malala ang kanyang sitwasyon. She comes to Jesus with nothing, absolutely nothing but her desperation. She is full of agreement kay Jesus. She did not counter-argue. She was not defensive, did not parade off of any of her good deeds. As if sinasabi niya, tama kayo Panginoon. By the way, yung salitang Panginoon or Lord is the first time na nabanggit po sa Gospel of Mark. And dito yung babae na ito nagsasabi. Wala akong karapatan na lumapit sa iyo, but have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on my daughter who is being tormented by an evil spirit. Mga kaibigan, this is what you call faith. Faith is when we reach the end of our reason and resources and we put our complete reliance of another person, trusting that this person has the power and willingness to do it. Kahit alam niya na iba ang kanyang lahi, she recognized Jesus' compassion and overflowing mercy even to those na hindi niya kalahi. Mga kaibigan, maaaring nandito po tayo ngayong gabi na ito at sinasabi, Pastor, napakadami kong nagawang pagkakamali, ang dami kong nagawang kasalanan, ang dami kong kapabayaan sa buhay. Sa tingin na nga ng mga pamilya ko, mga mahal ko sa buhay, mga kaibigan ko, wala na nga silang pag-asa. Tingin na sa akin, wala na akong pag-asa. As a matter of fact, wala na akong pag-asa. Yun ang tingin ko sa sarili ko, Pastor. Ako siguro yung pinakahuling tao na patatawarin ng Panginoon si Kristo. Ako yung huling tao na kung saan pwedeng kausapin ni Jesus. Hindi ako kayang siguro patawarin na ng Panginoon. Friends, do you think you are too far gone for the reach of the compassion of this Savior? Friends, tingnan ninyo ang faith ng Syrophoenician woman na ito. Lumapit siya kay Jesus na walang wala. Walang kayang ipagmalaki, walang kayang kabutihan na pwedeng ibandera. She recognized that she desperately needs the Lord's mercy sa buhay niya and she knows na si Jesus lang ang kaya ng kanyang pag-asa. Friends, you will never want Jesus to save you if you do not recognize that you desperately needed saving. All humans are desperately needed saving because we are all sinners. Everyone broke the law of God and so all have fallen short sa glory ng Panginoon. We were designed to image God and to image His glory and praise Him sa ating buhay. But the problem is we desire something different. We want to be praised and glorified and so we rebelled against God. We refuse to rely on Him. We love to rely on our own wisdom and our own strength and our own resources and our own relationships to the point that we want to be the saviors of our own lives. As a matter of fact, we want to be the savior of other people's lives. That's how wicked we are. This is rebellion. This is rebellion sa harapan ng Panginoon. This rebellion has aroused God's holy anger. And God's righteousness demands justice. But because of His great love and compassion to us, He sends His Son Jesus, the mercy of God, who lived a life that is completely reliant to God the Father, who lived a life that is completely, perfectly worshiping God, glorifying Him in His living, glorifying Him in His dying. On that cross, He was receiving the full wrath of God. Where He made that great exchange, God was punished in our place. He died for our sins, but conquered death, sin, and Satan. And the beauty of this, He rose on the third day. Mga kaibigan, huwag tayong maging kaparehas ng mga Pharisees sa Luke 18 na kung saan pinagmamalaki ang mga mabubuti nating gawa. But be like the humble tax collector who beat his chest. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And how did Jesus reply? Verse 29. For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. In verse 31, we see Jesus continued His tour in Gentile territory, sa region ng Decapolis. Naalala niyo ba yung lugar na Decapolis? I think naalala po natin yan sa chapter 5 na kung saan He exorcised yung isang mama na kung saan napoposes ng masamang espiritu. And after niya linisin ito, palayain itong mama na ito, inatasan niya, sige, pumunta ka sa Decapolis and share the gospel of God. At yun po ang ginawa niya, and I think he did a great job. Kasi the people sa Decapolis immediately recognized Jesus. Not sa kanyang itsura, but because of His power and teaching. So verse 32, may nilapit kay Jesus isang mamang bingi at may kapansanan sa pagsalita upang pagalingin ni Jesus. At paano siya pinagaling ni Jesus? Which is very interesting ang methodology ni Jesus. Taking aside the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Epaphta, that is, be open. And his ears were open, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Now, listen, ang kapamamaraanan ni Jesus Christ sa pagpapagaling ay marahil ay hindi maaproba ng Dubai Health Authority, salang na sa panahon po na ito. Never, okay? Bakit kailangan pa niya ilagay ang kanyang daliri sa tenga, tapos dudura pa siya, sahawakan yung dila? No, we don't know, okay? Walang sinabi si Mark patungkol sa methodology na ito. At hindi natin alam ang cultural expectations noong time na yon. Bakit kailangan? Hindi natin alam. Probably Jesus was doing kung ano ang common practice ng mga manggagamot sa context at saka sa panahon na iyon. We don't know. Pero hindi po ang kapamamaraanan ng pagpapagaling ang malaga at nagpagaling sa kanya kung hindi ang authoritative word ni King Jesus ang nagpagaling sa kanya. Jesus ang nagpagaling sa kanya. Jesus said, Epaphta. Ito'y Aramaic translated to Greek na ang kahulugan ay be open o magbukas. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 34. Sabi diyan, Jesus sighed. Nagbugtong hininga. Bakit niya ginawa yun? We do that when we're frustrated, hindi ba? Or sad, or discouraged, or disheartened. Jesus, a man full of compassion, is grieved by the ravages of sin and looked at them as sheep without a shepherd. He grieves ang effects ng kasalanan physically, emotionally, even spiritually. It always grieves my heart to witness people, including loved ones, na nag-aagaw buhay sa kama ng hospital. And I've seen several. It's sad because this is but an effect ng sin. For the wages of sin is not just spiritual death, but also physical death. Pero mga kapatid, we should not only grieve the effects of sin in our lives or in our loved ones' life. I mean, that is good. But we should also grieve over our own sins. Our sins that we commit in our minds and in our actions. Doon nagsisimula dapat yung ating kalungkutan. Friends, do you mourn over sins or do you celebrate it? Do we fight sin or give in to it? Sin is not a joking matter. Sin is a serious thing because Jesus gave His life for it. Ganyang kaseryoso ang Panginoon sa kasalanan. Kaya mga kaibigan, mga kapatid, sa pag-ibig, huwag tayo makipaglaro sa kasalanan. Huwag natin itago, huwag natin i-baby. And that is the beauty of church community. We fight sin together. We don't keep sin in the dark. We expose it. We expose it with God's Word. We expose it by sharing it to our mga kapatiran sa Panginoon. That is why important ang local church, important ang gathering such as this. So verse 36, he instructed the people to tell no one. Pero dahil sa amazement ng mga tao, again, pinagkalat na yung ginawa ni Jesus. Look at verse 37, our last verse. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and mute speak. Si Jesus, ang Messiah who came to rescue His people and granted forgiveness and freedom, was overflowing boundaries of all nationalities. This was prophesied in Isaiah 35 verse 4. Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies in Isaiah. He is the King in the presence of creation. Napansin niyo ba ang mga supernatural na pagpapagaling, pagpapalayas ng demonyo? Lahat ng mga tao na pinagaling niya ay lahat namatay din. Why? Because lahat ng pagpapagaling yan, hindi yan yung final, it's only a pointer. It points sa true healing ng ginagawa ni Jesus Christ, and that is the spiritual healing. Now those of us who have repented from our sins and trusted Jesus are not promised physical healing, although Jesus can do that. He will save us, but He promised reconciled relationship with the Father. Friends, alam ko na marami sa atin ay may mga mahal sa buhay ngayon na may karamdaman at marahil siguro nag-aagaw buhay. And it's not wrong to pray for their health. We are commanded to pray for them. We should be praying for them. But the greatest thing that we can do for them is that the Lord would heal them spiritually. That He should save them. Friends, sa mahal ninyo sa buhay na may karamdaman ngayon, have you prayed for his or her soul to come to Jesus? If you do, that's great. But have you ever proclaimed the gospel to them? Sa mga oras na to, panahon na ito, Jesus is concerned sa souls of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Shouldn't we be concerned as well? Namimili ba tayo ng ating sinasharan? Yes, kasama po ang ating mga kaaway, mga tao na pinagchichismisan kayo sa opisina. Kasama po sila. Jesus died for you and me, and we are enemies of God. Shouldn't we share the gospel to the people we consider as our enemies? Jesus, the Messiah, has come to liberate people and reconcile them to Himself, to do the very thing that they were called to do. The reason why Jesus saved us is to give God glory sa ating buhay. Jesus grants forgiveness and freedom to all outcasts, that's you and me, for any of us who would humble ourselves and believe in Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son Jesus. And because of Jesus, life, death, resurrection, ascension, Lord, we have hope. So I pray for my brother and sisters who have this hope that they would continue to be refreshed. For those who came and examining, exploring Christianity, I pray that you would call them to yourself in a saving way. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity for us to be generous, for you are a generous God. I pray na yung mga malilikom po na offering ngayong gabi na ito ay gamitin po ninyo sa ikalalago, Panginoon, ng gawain nyo ng gospel ministry dito sa Dubai, sa UAE, at sa buong mundo na kung saan-saan nyo gustong gamitin. Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Jesus. Amen.